Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island. It's a cartoon. You should go check it out on YouTube. Also, the Game Brain podcast for all you board game fiends out there like me. Go check that one out anywhere podcasts are available. And joining me is the hilarious and wonderful and kind and thoughtful and cucumber slicing without an attitude, Ronnie Karam. What's going on, Ronnie?
Oh, it's so sweet. I'm doing good. Thank you for that sweet intro, Ben.
Of course, I'm always happy to give you a sweet intro because you're a sweet guy. You're a cool guy, Kingsley.
Everything's going great. It's storming away here in Texas. I don't know what the hell's going on now. The world has lost its goddamn mind. It's like there's fires there. There's some hurricane or some shit. I don't even know anymore. Ben, you know what? I don't want
to. That's only according to science. Only according to science. But according to Joyce, who is at the store, she doesn't believe in that.
What?
That's climate change.
Oh. Do you really have a Joyce at the store who doesn't believe in climate change?
No, I think Joyce is a metaphorical composite of people.
Well, okay, here's what we're I not call going it. The path. World's going to hell, okay? That's what I know.
That's for sure.
There's Ronnie.
The world's Ronnie going store. To hell, and no one's around to slice a cucumber, okay? So the truth is this. There's a lot to discuss. We got Below Deck Med today. We got a fun week ahead of us. On Thursday, we're actually going to recap The Home Edit on Netflix because Beverly Hills is gone. We got a hole in our schedule. So why not talk about organizing some closets, okay? So we got The Home Edit. So you have some homework. If you haven't watched it yet, go check out the first episode with Reese Witherspoon and a doctor who has friends who ambush her closet. And then also a bonus episode. Dr. Whitney. Yeah. Our bonus episode is going to cover a very moving and very real piece of art called My Octopus Teacher.
If you haven't seen it. Yeah, this is going to be an epic bonus episode week, so definitely check out my art.
Yeah, this is going to be our first recap of a nature documentary, but we're up for the challenge.
Okay? Yeah.
We have a lot of really feelings excited. About it.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. So we're going to do that, and then we've got some more holes in the schedule coming up, and we're going to be filling them with the Great British Bake Off, which is going to be hilarious and really fun for us to do. And, I don't know, lots of other stuff. Just stay tuned, okay?
Yeah, just subscribe, and just whatever comes into your podcast inbox, that's just what it'll be, okay?
Yeah.
So, and also I'm sure we'll probably post on our social media, like what the latest things we're covering. So go follow us there for all the latest updates. Okay.
Yeah. And today we are doing Below Deck Mediterranean episode 517, because now Below Decks go for 97 episodes. They're the new Real Housewives of Atlanta. Okay. They're just going to keep going.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the great things about Below Deck as a franchise is that they have the most hilarious cliffhangers at the end of every episode. You know, a soap opera, a cliffhanger might be a car driving off a cliff or someone getting shot like JR. You know, a drama. Maybe it's a dragon, a beloved dragon getting shot out of the sky and dying in a lake. Things like that, you know. Those are cliffhangers. Below Deck is... Did you have to wake me up to slice a cucumber? A cucumber? Really? A cucumber? It's like, who will slice the cucumber?
And Aisha starts this one. Previously on Below Deck Mediterranean. And then they show the past scenes, and I was cracking up the whole time. It's just Tom screaming. It's like, can I get a fucking potato down the fucking bin? A goddamn potato down the bin. Oh.
Am I meant to make a potato? A potato in 45 minutes when I needed it and ready in 5 minutes. And the last potato I had, you just put down the bin. You put it down the bin!
You want some cucumbers? All right, Bugsy, Bugsy. Okay, sorry there. Jess. All right, you know what? I'm going to go get the chef.
Don't. Wasn't my call.
No point in apologizing. Whatever you're saying is right, all right? What's the fucking problem? I don't have an... Yeah, it's just like, wow, Tom. And it's amazing. I was totally into it.
It was amazing. And so he's losing his mind. Because I think actually at this point, technically... Asia has come back down to slice an avocado. Yes. We've progressed from cucumber to avocado.
Just and when she you has thought, volunteered. How are they going to top the cucumber? They bring out the most finicky, the avocado.
Yes. Is it ripe? Is it not ripe? You won't know until you look. And so, so Asia gets the avocado, and Tom is like, oh, for Christ's sake, I'll do it. I'll slice the avocado. Who even wants an avocado for a snack? You know what's a good snack? A crumpet. That's a proper snack, not an avocado. Okay, I'll slice it up.
So she's crying, and he's like, all right, calm down, the waterworks. And she's like, why are you giving me attitude? Oh, fuck yourself.
And then one of the most ridiculous, yeah, he literally says, fuck yourself, by this avocado. And then Aisha says one of the funniest sentences we've ever heard on reality television. I was on the fucking mat doing a fucking flip, and then I heard cucumber, so I ran down. What?
Go have a fucking cry with Sandy. Well, you feel the need to apologize, and I'm having a go at you for something you didn't do, which just doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up, does it?
Why are you apologizing for something you didn't even do? It's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous thing to do. It's more ridiculous than having an avocado for a snack instead of a crumpet.
I'm sorry for you. I'm not apologizing because I haven't done anything. I'm sorry for you for having to deal with it. She's like, then I accept, mother. So then we cut up to wrestling again. With that douchebag is like, want me to show you how to wrestle, ladies? Yeah.
And so then Aisha finds Bugsy. She, like, delivers the avocado, and then she finds Bugsy and is like, can you come and talk to me in the bunk, please? So they go to the bunk, and she's, like, crying, and she's like, he's so grumpy! He's so grumpy!
Oh, and he said, stop with the bloody waterworks! Come on! And Bugsy's like, that's what he said to you? Oh, I'm sorry, he just probably got caught up with Sandy, and he just got caught up in the moment, and it wasn't about me!
Yeah, it's so funny, because Aisha's, like, mad at him, and yet also being, like, totally considerate. She's like, I mean, I heard Sandy calling for a cucumber, and I knew the girls just wanted a snack, so I went to the galley, and he's like, are you fucking serious? A cucumber and fruit, you can't slice that yourself. And I thought, he's under so much stress right now. The poor guy, he's miserable. He's absolutely miserable and grumpy. I felt so terrible for him.
I know, she's like a terrible witness in court. It's like, well, you just got him off, okay?
Yeah.
He could have gone to life or prison for that cucumber crime, and you just totally talked him out of the jail cell. So yeah. She's like, well, I've always had such a close relationship with my chief stews. It's important to be able to go to them, and Bugsy's definitely approachable. She wore a beret that said welcome and advised 5 cents.
I wonder if she'd let me stick my finger up her bum.
It's nice to have someone to talk about it with, even if she doesn't banter.
So then we see, like, things happening. Like, Alex and some girl are golfing. Malia's waving at Tom through a window. Like, her energy around Tom is so nervous, it, like, makes me anxious. Like, just the way she's like, hey, honey, are you smiling? Are you okay? You're getting mad at me? Oh, hey, honey, I'm waving through the window. I'm like, ugh.
Hey, hi, stinker. Oh, by the way, newsflash, Malia dumped Tom, everybody. Oh.
Yeah, tell me about this. I know it was on her Instagram that she's like, to all the single ladies out there like me or whatever, but yeah. Do we know any other information?
It just said something like, here's a picture of the first time he cheats, and it's like Beyonce with Jay-Z, and then here's the second time when you're over it, and it's Beyonce being fabulous all alone. Wow. Which isn't really how that worked out, but I was like, I know what you're going for here, but I'm pretty sure Beyonce is still with Jay-Z, but it's a gorgeous picture, Malia. Gorgeous picture.
Tom is a cheater. I actually would not have expected that, but then again, his name is Tom, and it's about Tom. So, yeah.
So she's got the whole, so everyone's like, poor Malia. And I'm like, God, how quickly we forget in this world, this reality world. It's like, wow.
Seriously.
Now, in like within 3 weeks, everyone likes Malia again. Well, I will not forget, ma'am.
Well, maybe like the Malia, when the Malia that we saw that where we all got angry, it's because she was under the influence of Tom. We can still be mad at Tom, and like it still can all work out.
No, I'm not working anything out. Malia's still an asshole, but nobody deserves to be treated like that, even assholes.
Yeah. So, so now Malia goes into the kitchen and she's like, "Hey, honey, are you all right?" And he's like, "No, I'm pissed off. I mean, is there no other fucking adult on board that can slice a piece of fucking cucumber? I mean, if I was Sandy in that," then he tells us, "If I was Sandy in that situation, I would have seen that Tom's not in the galley and he's not answering his radio, and you would assume I went for a break. But maybe it's because I don't take any breaks ever fucking ever that she assumed that I was around. So, like, yeah, you know what? Like, she came and knocked on my door, and honestly, if I were her, I'd feel embarrassed. I'd feel totally embarrassed. I'm like, why would she be embarrassed that she knocked on your door? Okay, she is the number one here. Okay, like, she should not feel embarrassed for knocking on a door to slice a cucumber. That's part of her job."
I know, and he's going off on her like he's embarrassed for her for being such a bad leader. Get your ass out of bed and do your fucking job. And I'll tell you who's embarrassed right now. You, okay? On national television looking like a damn fool, and you deserve it. So Malia's like, I'm sorry, stinker. He's like, oh, I am as well, because it changed everything, hasn't it? Aisha started crying, and I feel like I'll apologize to her, because I didn't mean it to come off rude, you know, when I said, fuck off already.
It's supposed to be a lovely thing to say. I like it that it's okay that Malia says sorry that it happened, but when Aisha said it's that sorry that like he like went off on her. But
yeah, he's like, I need to find a better way to say, you're a fucking idiot, just murder a potato, why don't you?
So now dinner is going to be at 10 o'clock, and Bugsy's like,
you know, sometimes it's hard to ride that line between protecting your steeds and keeping your ship happy, so what I do is I just bring the thunder.
It's a fine line, protecting my stew and getting a potato thrown down my throat.
And Emily upstairs, someone's like, she goes to check on beef, right? She's like, well, I know you don't like beef, so we're going to serve a nice fish for you instead. And the girl's like, well, I'll have the beef. I don't have it often, but you know what? I'm going to beef it up today or whatever. So Bugsy goes back and reports to Tom very proudly. like she just really accomplished something. She's like,
Tom, Emily has agreed to eat your meat, Tom. She's eating the beef. Ding, ding, ding.
And, like, instead of him being like, oh, thank God I don't have to cook something else, he goes, oh, but it doesn't digest well for her. I mean, what? It's idiots. Everyone's idiots. What are they going to ask me to do next? Poach it, then fry it. Poach and then fry. Poach and then fry. Poach and then fry. Is that what she wants?
So then the captain comes into the kitchen later, and he hates her. He's, like, doing food prep, and he will not even look at her. And she's like, I'm going to drink the longest cup of coffee you've ever seen. Oh, look. Hold on. Look, I'm taking a sip. Oh, I'm going to take a bigger sip. I'm done now. Nope, not done. Going to drink a bigger sip.
Oh,
yeah. And she's just smiling like she's watching the sunset.
I hope he doesn't get annoyed if I decide to pour myself another cup of coffee from the Keurig. This won't annoy him, will it? That annoying you, Tam? Oh, shut up, that's the awesome machine, I can't stand it.
He just completely ignores her. He's such an ass. And she leaves and says, he won't even look at me, to nobody, really. Just like this guy. So she's like, you know, this is the first time I've seen Tom frustrated, and I feel bad for him, but if the guest comes looking for food, I'm going to look for the chef. Whatever it takes, I need him to do his food, okay?
Yeah.
At this point, he can stay mad or choose to let it go.
Yeah, you know, it's like that. It's like that movie Frozen with that song Let It Go, you know, Frozen, which is actually how some of our food arrives on ship, and he does not like that either. He does not.
Do you want to build a snowman?
No! Get the fuck away from my door, you little twat! Get out!
All right, someone put my snowman in the bin. All right, they asked for a snowman. I don't want to do a snowman, but I do a snowman anyway, and they put it in the bin. I mean, what's even the point? What is even the point?
So then Bugsy's newest table design is hanging underwear from from above the table and sex toys and stuff.
Yeah.
And in the kitchen, it's quiet again. And Aisha comes down and just ignores Tom, and he's ignoring her. He's just being such an ass to everybody. And she's like, I can't believe that he got so rude and inappropriate.
I choose not to interact with him until he apologizes. He got lucky I didn't use some of my new jiu-jitsu moves on him.
I like that she cheers herself up with her own jokes.
She's like us. She just sits there laughing at herself all day.
Yeah, pretty much. So now Tom continues to cook and the guests are getting dressed. And then because there was this ridiculous ultimate frisbee thing that happened last episode, the crew has to wear Speedos. So they're putting them like over their blacks. And then they're like putting like socks in the crotch, you know, because it's crazy. And I guess Aisha's doing it and like being funny, and Jess sees it and of course gets annoyed, and she's like, Aisha's personality is like enjoyable, but she makes me skeptical because Rob likes Aisha because she has that easy free spirit, sort of like someone who would like do a bingo calling and like not even care what the number is, but I care.
Yeah, I mean, she's got such an easy free spirit. And then they go up and whip their dicks in Rob's face, and Jess goes, but fuck it, YOLO.
Yeah, and then Rob, for his Speedo, he goes down and asks Tom for a cucumber for his Speedo, and Tom's like, Jesus, another fucking cucumber, another bloody cucumber down here, this is ridiculous, ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous, mother.
So Bugsy comes out to the guests, and she's like, how naughty is everyone feeling tonight? I was like, oh my god, you're so cringe. Oh my god,
I know.
You're doing a great job. I don't have a lot of Bugsy hate, which I'm surprised by, actually. Yeah, I really thought Bugsy was going to make me crazy. But yeah, she's doing a good job and everything, but god, she really is cringe.
Who's feeling naughty?
She's got like hardcore camp counselor energy, and that's I think what makes me cringe. It's like, yes. Oh gosh, all right, we're gonna be doing, you know, sing along tonight or something.
Yes. And it's like a sex party, basically.
She's like,
okay, a sex party at 10 p.m and 11 p.m tie-dye.
Yeah, and then one of the douchebag guys, I guess it's the primary, is getting ready, and it's just wow. Everybody has to wait for him because he's like 45 minutes late, and he's like doing his hair,
Tommy Bahama. But
he's like bald all the way to the middle of the back, you know, the middle to the front or whatever, and so he's poofing up the back. Just, he's doing everything that like big, bald, aging men shouldn't do, and trust me, I am one, I know, you know. Don't do it. Don't stop.
Yeah, he's like putting a lot of effort into a look that's terrible, and so everyone's just like sitting and waiting. All the guests are waiting, everyone's annoyed, and Tom of course can't fire up any food, so he's like, this is boring, you know, Malia, the only reason I'm here is for you, and if this is gonna make me pissed off being around you, then there's no point for me even being here. And she's like, pissed off at me, pissed off around you, not at you, around you. Do you even know prepositions? Don't you even know the difference between around and at? You stupid little girl, I wish I could throw you in the bin, but so we got through the potatoes in the bin.
Well, this is a nightmare for me because I feel like this is all my fault. Tom doesn't have to be here, and I feel guilty he's here in the first place. It's tough, but that's love.
No, it's not love. No, it is not. You got this little fucker a job, okay? He should say thank you. He's not doing anybody a favor by showing up to work. There's plenty of people that Norma could have found, all right?
Plenty.
Did we ever really
people.
Give Norma a chance?
Also, like, what kitchens? I mean, like, what is the deal with Tom? He allegedly works on yachts, but he seems to, like, have a meltdown over every simple, like, fundamental request. Like, he seems like a great chef, but, like, he does not seem like someone who has excelled in yachting.
Well, it's because he's on bigger yachts where he has three people working under him. It's like when we watch Top Chef Masters and all the chefs go crazy because they have to cut a carrot and they don't remember how anymore.
That's true. And he did study under Gordon Ramsay. And like, I actually remember Kwame from Top Chef.
Yes, of course.
So I actually read his book recently, and he talked about when he was like staging in at whatever it was, Per Se in New York City, which is like Thomas Keller, and how like every chef there was evil and would just like yell, and they just were abusive and just like assholes, which is what we know of chefs anyway. And I think that Tom is just like someone who studied in that environment and then just like continues on, because you basically have to be silent and take the abuse until you get to a place where you can then like pay it forward and abuse everyone who's under you. And I think that's essentially what Tom is doing. He's like a product of that fine dining cycle of
it's a cycle of chef violence.
Yeah,
and small penises, yes. So Tom's like, I can't keep heating this up. It's not fair. Fuck not this fair. Shit. This is mental. This is mental. It's not fair, Mommy.
Mommy, I can't heat this up and then cool it down and heat it up. It's not fair, Mommy. It's not fair.
So then there's horror music as Tom stews in the kitchen, basically. And they're still waiting for the primary. We see him doing his terrible hair still.
Yeah.
And then Aisha passes and Tom just gives her this dirty look. And then basically it's time to go to bed. And Alex is like, good night, well, Bug. I'm going to bed. Oh, yeah. All right. And she's like, dream of me.
I always do, Bugs. I can't even sleep because of you.
And then finally the primary is ready at 10:30, and he's like, hey everyone, what's up? And his friends are so pissed at him, which is like, this is a great moment for me because I feel like primary's friends always kiss their ass because they're basically paying for this trip. And this time they're like, no, fuck this guy, we're starving. And he comes in and a girl is like, oh wow, look, he got those stonewashed jeans from 1989. And someone else goes, oh, I didn't know we're going for a 90s theme tonight.
And then Bugs comes in with her stuffed Speedo, and it's a blue Speedo, and she goes, I've got blue balls, man. Oh, cringe.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
When we come together as a community, we empower ourselves to make meaningful change.
Our normal has changed, and we're finding new ways to connect and continue supporting one another.
Yeah, we've started social distancing when we spend time with friends and explore local cuisine. So what we need more now than ever is an easy way to support each other from afar.
With the PayPal app, sending and receiving money is faster. Quickly and securely send money to friends and family.
Start a money pool to split the bill, go in on a gift, or fundraise for a good cause.
Or make touch-free QR code payments at your favorite local restaurant or farmer's market.
Donate to a local nonprofit or support a cause from across the country. Honestly, PayPal makes it very easy. It's been a part of our lives for a very long time, and there are so many good uses for it, especially now during these crazy times. I'm finding that I'm using it to live, to buy groceries, to get food ordered in. It's like essential.
PayPal is making it easy to pay safely, quickly, and more importantly, easily.
Download the PayPal app today. Terms and conditions apply. And meanwhile, Aisha's doing, she's like cleaning something, and she's like cleaning a floor, and Rob just stands over her and goes, oh, so that's how you do that. It's like, what part of like using a towel to wipe up a spill is complicated for you, Rob?
All right, everyone, my naughty people should move to the table, naughty naughties.
And so the table's decorated with like penis straws and I don't know, whatever. And so Tom's like, it's nearly 10:30.
I know, baby. I'm so tired. I'm so sorry, baby. But as soon as you finish, the rest of us can do the dishes and everything for you. No.
You say that now, but guess what? 10:35 comes around, and guess what's going to happen? You're going to want another cucumber sliced up, and apparently no one on this boat knows how to use a knife to slice a fucking cucumber. So good luck to me for not having any sleep for the next 24 hours while I wake up every 10 minutes to cut cucumber after cucumber after cucumber, Mommy!
And then he sends up more eel. He's already done this, so he needs to get something new, because even they're like, wow, more eel. Wow. Yeah.
And there's this one lady who's like, I was really nervous about the food situation, but it's been so phenomenal. I don't know why I wrote that down. Just a great review from the Earthy Lady.
They chose this lady. Like, we're going to follow this lady's journey now for whatever reason. Yeah,
I know. I really liked her, actually.
She's like everybody's art teacher, you know?
Yes. And I called her the Earthy Lady.
Yeah, we're just going to follow her. Like, she has a poncho. You know she does. Like, a real one.
Yeah.
So we're going to follow her now.
I was going to say, yes, we are going to follow her. And then downstairs, Aisha checks in on Jess to see if she's done the other cabins. And Jess like, yeah. And she's like, man, you go, girl. And you know that Jess is just like, oh, my God, get this fucking girl out of my face right now.
Yeah, Jess hates her. And Aisha's trying so hard, but she just won't lighten up around Aisha. So then Malia comes out to serve food, but she's not wearing a Speedo. And the guy's like, Malia, I mean, up till now, you've shown impeccable leadership, but when the team loses, you lose.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's like, okay. So then she goes and gets into a Speedo, and
they bring out miso glazed salmon, and they're like, this is miso glazed salmon. Enjoy your meal. And the guy goes, yeah, I taste a little sweetness from the mise en place. Oh, God. They're trying so hard to sound fancy.
Oh, that's amazing. So now this Wagyu beef is cooking. I was expecting, by the way, there would be a whole drama with the beef. I thought, like, this woman's going to have the beef, and then she's going to not like it, and then Tom's going to be like, well, it won't digest well. But that never happened. So instead, Jess decides that she's going to go take a smoke on the bow, and so Rob joins her as they go out to the bow, and they're smoking, and Rob's like, I love you. And they're just being generally annoying, as usual.
And in the background, you hear the trying-to-be-fancy guest go.
Yes.
He goes, whoa, yeah, this one's got good notes on that one, by the way. Leather, taste leather.
Yeah, and then it cuts back to Jess and Rob, and they're like, you know, Jess is like mounted Rob, and they're like dry humping, and you still hear in the background,
yeah, a lot of leather, it's earthy leather notes. I'm getting a plum, tin. I'm getting tin and aluminum too, as well, and glass. I'm tasting a lot of glass right now.
And the ever classic customer response, excuse me, this is the art teacher lady, excuse me, Bugs, I spilled my drink down my throat.
I knew you'd love that. When she said that, I was like, oh, Ronnie is gonna be like very triggered by this,
because you know, when you wait tables, it's like, really, do you think I've never heard that one?
I was so happy for her, though, because I feel like she hasn't like drank wine in a few months, so I was happy for her.
Just so bitter at like hacky customer material.
Well, then don't wait on my dad. So, because he's got some great lines, and then he can turn it real quick. He can be all jovial with those, like, the hacky material, and then he'll be like, the next thing that comes to this table better be my plate or the check.
Yes. Well, you know, I always say on these shows, like, for years I've been saying, when people are too nice, don't trust them. You know, when they come up, when the people who come up are like, hi, how are you? Like a Lisa Rinna type. Yeah. Those people will chew you out and get you fired. Those are always the people that end up fucking with you when you wait tables.
Well, because the niceness is like a weird reward. It's like, if you're nice to me, I'm gonna be wonderful, but if you're bad to me, I'm gonna be terrible, as opposed to just like a general neutral.
Yeah.
The point is this: if my dad walks into a restaurant, all waiters should be terrified. Okay. All waiters should be terrified. And I don't care what you say. You can say, you know, like, waiters are humans too. You should treat them nicely. It doesn't matter.
He's yeah. My parents change. Are nightmares. My mom's really picky. Right. So she's like, well, I thought I was going to get some mustard with this. And so my dad gets, like, the waiter could have just been at the table and said, does anybody need anything? No, we're fine. They walk away. My mom complains about mustard, and my dad gets up, puts his napkin down, and goes to the back section of the restaurant. Like, goes to the waiter station. I need some mustard here. I need some mustard here. And they do it like multiple times during a meal. And I'm like, please stop. This is so mortifying. And they're like, well, we have a right to, you know, we're the customers and it's our right. I'm like, you people are fucking nightmares.
I think I've done that once or twice when the service has been so bad. If I'm waiting 20 minutes and no one comes by, I have done I'm standing up and talking to the host, be like, can we get some service? I have had to do that, but it's like, I've had to do it. It's not like it's not my go-to. There was one time I will always.
It's like a game to him, like how much he can, and it's sweet in a way, because it's like, wow, he just wants to please his wife after all these years. Like, that's all. Oh, by the way, happy anniversary, as I shit talk my parents. It's their anniversary today. But he's always trying to please her, but just as being someone who's sitting there and being a waiter, it's mortifying.
Well, I have definitely, I mean, I will always remember the time that my dad like stood up at this lovely neighborhood sushi restaurant and like walked up to the sushi bar and started screaming at the chef with the line I just said before, which was, the next thing that comes to our table better be our food or the check. Because my dad was convinced that, like, we were waiting and my dad was convinced that the waitress saw him and then like pretended like she didn't see him. So now he really was like, oh God. And on top of that, I had friends sitting at another table, and I just will always remember their look, like, as my dad was screaming in a restaurant. It was just like,
yeah.
And he's like proud of it. Like, you talk to him now and he like laughs. He's like, yeah, I did that. That was so great.
Yeah.
And then there was the other restaurant where the owner of the restaurant came up and announced in front of the entire back patio where we were, we just took a poll, and everyone at the restaurant says that you're the worst customer here.
Whoa.
But that guy was a dick, and I was on my dad's side for that one. That guy was a real dick. Wow, that's for another episode. That's another episode.
Wow. Okay, so here we are. Malia sees the making out, and so she goes up, and she's like, oh, hey, guys, I was just looking at the distance to that sailboat. What the fuck are they thinking? This isn't a Sandals couples retreat. I was like, okay, yeah. Lady who just fucking got someone fired so you could, like, share a room with your boyfriend.
Yeah, exactly. So she basically tells them that they can't be there on deck with, you know, like, out. If there are guests on deck, you can't be up there without uniform, et cetera, et cetera. And she's like, you know, the rules in yachting is that if guests are awake, you have to be in uniform on the deck. Thank you. Take this up with Mary Time Law, okay?
Did someone call? Hi, it's me, Mary Time Law.
So Rob explains that the reason why he was up there is because Rob Jr. had a mind of his own then. Get it?
So then in the kitchen, we just hear a lady comes down to the kitchen. She's like, Aisha, we brought all these remote vibrators. And she's like, well, you gotta go hard on your last night, don't you? So then we just see the guests like sitting around playing with these little vibrators.
Yeah. And then it's like bedtime and Malia and Tom are in bed. He's like, just a few more hours, honey. Just a few more hours. Oh, says you. But guess what? Wait till someone wants a cucumber slice in the middle of the night. Just wait. Just wait.
What is with everybody on these shows? Like, all the guests are always so horny. What is it with that? Is it like just being on a boat where you're like, we're all going to fuck each other at the end of this? Because they all seem to be kind of fucking each other. Like, it's so weird. My friends aren't like that. And I mean, no, look, I know either. That I'm more uptight than most, but my friends are not uptight, but they're not sitting around like, yeah, can't wait to fuck later. Yeah, got everybody vibrators. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that, like, the show must put out casting notices in, like, swingers groups or something like that. I don't know. Yeah. Like, there's just something, like... Yeah, I mean, I don't really think of myself as a prude, but then I watch these shows, and I'm like, I think I'm actually a prude. I never thought of it. I'm like a prude. Is this just like a podcast of like two little old ladies?
Yeah.
Just like, because that's what we sort of are. Old men. It could be
prude. Two queens just sitting around bitching about everybody's sex life. Yeah. But sometimes I wonder too, I'm like, is this what people are doing? Just like going on cruises and fucking each other? Because that sounds gross. I love my friends. I do not want to fuck my friends. And I'm sure the feeling is mutual.
Yeah, it's just weird. With any of my friends, it's never really,
we do, you know?
Yeah, it's not like, let's go downstairs and let's go have some fucking sex.
We're also probably all too drunk, me and my friends, that we never even get to that point. But anyway, it's bedtime, and then I'm triggered by the alarm waking everybody up. I hate that sound, and that's my alarm sound. Hate it. So then Rob and Jess decide that they want to have like a really relaxing night tonight and be really romantic while everybody else goes out. And Rob's like, yeah, I would love to roll around as you do.
It's so Rob. And then Malia gets a text from her mom that's like, her mom is basically what I would expect. Her mom's like, see you soon, I'll be on deck. Okay, Malia, I'll be on deck. And she's like, yay, can't wait. Amusingly enough, Malia's mom is named Mary. So all this discussion about Mary Time Law, it's Malia's mom. Mom maybe says you can't have Valium on board.
Maybe it's a new wife or something. She's like, you know, yeah, I divorced Mr. Time Law.
Anyway, so it's the morning. And so Sandy walks into the kitchen, into the galley. And she's like, she puts on this like fake British accent. She goes, hello, Tom. And he just like doesn't respond.
Maybe if I try and talk to him like I'm in his natural habitat, he'll respond. Hello, Tom. And she's like, whoa, you know what? It smells like Insha in here. Have you been to Insha? And he's like, yes, India, Nepal. Well, did you do any training there? No. Any cooking? No. Well, you know, a lot of people go there to learn, so.
And he just walks away.
Yeah.
How dare she bring up a colony that in India used to be part of the UK, and now she's bringing it up to throw my face on failures as a country. How could she do that?
So then she's like, so Tom, are you not in a good mood today, Tom? That's me being like, British, Tom. Did you get it? He's like, I'm just tired. She goes, oh, sorry. You know, I get that, Tom. I get that. Can't wait to skewer you in front of everybody later. See you then.
All right, well, you've just failed this test. What you should have said is, I just need a hug, and then you would have been great. But instead, I'm just going to have to publicly humiliate you. So, looking forward to that.
Yeah, see you then. Let's see. Jess and Bugs are talking. And Bugs is like, it's almost over. I'm so happy. And Jess is like, that leads me to another question. Would you care if Rob and I just chilled tonight and slept in that guest cabin?
Well, I'm just going to have to think about it because tonight was supposed to be sing a favorite Broadway song show for all the campers. Hold on, I'll get back to you.
So anchor drop. Everybody's cleaning. And then Aisha brings breakfast to the people. And Malia tells Tom her mom is coming. Everybody loves breakfast. And then Aisha comes into the kitchen and Tom's like, hey, I'm sorry about how I spoke to you yesterday.
She reacts like she just received the most heartfelt apology of all time. She's like, oh, thank you. It's like he just had like the most like basic thing, and he's like, you know, I wasn't really pissed off at you, obviously. And when I say obviously, I'm saying for any intelligent person could see I was not pissed off at you, but apparently you thought that. So anyway, but I was really pissed off because, I mean, it just doesn't make sense. I mean, you all are a bunch of adults and you all know how to use a knife, and like, I'm sorry that I took it out on you. I'm sorry that I took out my frustration with your stupidity out on you because you're too stupid to receive that the proper way. So I apologize for that, and I do quite tolerate you quite lovely.
She's like, uh-huh. So I'm sorry you're stupid. Oh, thank you.
I guess next time I'll just have to poach this apology and then fry it afterwards.
Yeah. Next time I'll give you a potato down a bin. How's that? So then Jess are talking. And Bugs is like,
jeez, I've thought about it. You can stay in the guest cabin tonight.
She's like, I can. I'm sorry, it's your accent.
Okay, how you drink wine?
A can. Oh, thank you. Thank you, we will do it.
But jeez, I want to see the super stew come out of you as much as I've ever seen it all season long. Okay, because I want to give you a gold star, and whoever has the most gold stars gets to perform at the end of the summer dance for all the campers.
And they're like, clip, early this morning.
The table is beautiful, jeez.
They're really into these tables this year.
I know. It's like really aggressive.
It really is. So it's time to prep the lines for docking for Malia's mother, Mary used to be Time Law.
Mary X Time Law. Mary's watching. No pressure, everyone, but a very lovely and quiet woman will be watching.
An extremely supportive woman is about to come on board. Brace yourselves!
A woman who is impressed by different rooms is watching. So make this the best you've ever been done.
So she tells us about her mom being a stewardess. And so it's going to be so cool for her mom to see like stewardesses, but on a boat instead of the air. So they dock, and her mom's like adorable, except that adorable. She's just yelling as they dock. And Malia is like trying to be really professional. Her mom's just like, you suck! You suck, honey!
You're doing great, honey. You're doing great. Great.
If she was like the opposite of Collie's mom.
Quiet, you're doing Collie's terrible, mom. Mally!
So they dock, and then Malia comes in and hugs her mom, which is so sweet, and then Sandy hugs her mom, and then Bugsy hugs, and then Tom, everyone's just, there's just something about Mary. Everyone is just hugging Mary Time Law.
She's got some stiff bangs, but otherwise everybody loves her.
No, but I think I like those kind of bangs. Like these are not Kyle Richards bangs. These are like,
no, I was saying
Mary like, might.
I was saying there's something about Mary bangs, remember?
Oh yeah. Because Mary did have bangs, but they were very much like, hey, I just got this book from the library if you want to read it after me, bangs.
Oh, you know what? You brought this in a little late. You know what we're gonna do? We're not gonna stamp it.
Hey, I chopped up some apples for you if you want a little snack. Bangs.
So Malia's like, my mom has always encouraged me. You know, she said, if you want to go into yachting, go yachting. If you want to take down the Colombian boat marijuana in the veins with Xanax cartel, do that. I'm here to support you.
So Mary has always supported Malia, which is, of course. So now the guests are leaving, and they all line up, and this primary guy, he goes, well, as a businessman, I really appreciate when people don't look at their job as a narrow definition, but actually as an end goal of making a customer very happy. Like I always tell my employees, you're not workers, you're ultimate Frisbee players, okay? And you guys exemplify that. And not only a compliment, it's not only a compliment to you, but a compliment to the person who assembled you and knows a thing or two about finding a cucumber at a moment's notice. Am I right? Now, why does the chef look like he has got steam coming out of his ears?
Now, I know you normally get a tip, but guys, I've got dinner tickets for you because I have dinner at my beach house every Tuesday in Malibu. And they all just stare down at these tickets and they're like, thanks. They look so pissed. And then they're cut to commercial.
And no. I was like, is this a joke or no?
This show is so evil to do that to this guy. Because you know this guy was so excited to be on TV and has been on his Instagram and Facebook like, everybody, I'm going to be on TV. And then the world has just been like, fuck you, you monster and your terrible hair and fucking your terrible shirt and your terrible pants.
Yeah. And then Aisha's like, what the fuck, it's insane. And then he walks away, but then he turns around and he pulls his tip out of his crotch and he's like, oh wait, one more thing, I hope you guys all like crabs because that's not what's for dinner, it's what's on the tip, here you go.
And he does tip them. He was just kidding, America, you can stop hating him now. So Malia's like, captain, permission to bring on my mother. Of course.
Do your food, mother. So Maritime Law comes on board, and they're like, she's getting the whole tour, and Rob's like, this is your daughter's lair. This is where she bosses around and hurts my feelings.
Yes. This is where I've had to internalize a lot of fear.
From your daughter. This is where your daughter yelled at me because I couldn't throw my rope on account of my arms being weak from holding so much emotion.
Yeah. And she's like, very nice. Oh, wow. The kitchen, huh? Hi, Tom. This is your kitchen? It's a galley, Mary, you fucking moron.
It's called a galley. What? Let me guess. You don't know how to cut a cucumber either. All right, Mary, pop quiz. Two potatoes left on the boat. Two guests want potatoes. There's one bin. Where do you put the second potato? If you say the bin, you're fired.
Well, if you've already served them to somebody, I would say they go in the bin because you can't... God damn it, Mary, you stupid moron. Get out.
Get out. Who do you think you are, Mary? Go back to the library you crawled out of. Get off this boat.
You'll never be my mother-in-law. Mother-in-flaw is more like it, you idiot.
How many queens have you served, mummy? None, mummy. How many have you served? None, right? Because my mom served all the queens, every single queen you've ever existed. Stupid slag.
All right, tip meaning. All right, guys, there's one charter left. We're all tired. Look at me. I mean, I look great, but I'm tired on the inside. And look, I'm losing my temper. Some of you are losing your temper. For example, last night I noticed with Tom, you know, it was a cucumber, right, Tom? Was it a cucumber?
Was it a cucumber that you lost your mind over something? So I'm trying to remember. It was something really so small and insignificant. I'm trying to remember what your drama was about. Was it a cucumber? Was it a crumb? Can you just help me out here,
so
Tom?
So funny. And he's looking around like, oh, like what? Oh, you speak.
I can't believe she would even mention that.
What? They're talking to me.
I mean, you should be so grateful. I even cut that cucumber. And here you are. Lighting me up right here in the middle of public. I mean, I'm fuming right now. I'm absolutely fuming. What, are you going to pie me like that? Are you going to pie me like that, Sandy?
Oh, he was so mad. And she goes, I just want to say this to you, Tom. And he's like, oh, I'm talking, Tom. When a client comes in the galley and they ask me for something, I have no idea where people have gone, okay? So next time you need a nap, write down on the board when people are taking naps, okay? Nap cal, okay? Just write it down.
okay, sure, I'm happy to do that, because sometimes I forget just how stupid you Americans are, and you don't understand that if a man is sleeping in his room, he's taking a nap, that's how it works.
Yeah, he's like, well, I can't fault Sandy for waking me, it is my job. Maybe I should have written a certified letter and sent it through the completely incompetent provisions people to freeze it incorrectly and get it in the pod down there.
But you know what? I'm British, and I'm not going to dwell on the fact and let it affect my job. I won't let it affect my job at all. I won't let it affect my job. She yelled at me! She yelled at me!
Now, having said that, everybody but Tom was amazing, and the client never felt any of that cucumber rage. So here's $20,000, plus dinner in Malibu. Come on, it was well-deserved.
Now, I hope that we, and by we, I mean Tom, can keep it together for the final charter. Because as we all know, we're all professionals, and we've all been brought on this boat being told that we're all professionals and can handle small pieces of stress like, I don't know, like, if something needs, like, I don't know, was it a cucumber? What was that again? Was it an avocado? Was it a grain of rice that needed to be chopped? What was that again, Tom, that you just were a total unprofessional stooge about?
All right, meeting adjourned. And Tom's like, I want to have a nap, baby. I want to have a nap. And Malia's like, okay, baby. God, you better get to the whiteboard. Are you already not going to go to the whiteboard?
I know. She just told you. Write it on the whiteboard. You're napping, okay?
So everybody's
It's cleaning. Always about naps. Always yes. About naps with Sandy.
So cleaning. And Alex is like, hey, Malia, will you and Tom be my matchmaker, huh? You and Tom? And Malia's like, yeah, I'm a great wingman. So not sure what that was about, because I thought he was like totally in love with Bugsy, but whatever.
Wait, Alex said that he wanted a what?
Yeah, he said, will you be my matchmaker, you and Tom? And she's like, yeah, I'm a great wingman.
Oh, I think they meant with Bugsy.
Oh, by the way, while I'm misunderstanding things, last week I made a huge mistake and did not apologize at the beginning of the show, but at least I didn't accuse anybody, okay? I said, did I hear that right? Because I'm very confused, and I was. There were subtitles that said the old me would have beaten the shit out of her, but it wasn't Rob who said that. It was Jessica saying that to Rob, and of course, that is how it happened. I'm so sorry. Yes. Not calling Rob an abusive person, okay? I was just a boring little bit person. Confused.
Yeah. So Alex wants, speaking boring, Alex and Bugsy is a relationship, no one cares, but he wants, as you said, he wants Malia to be the matchmaker and, you know, the wingman, you know. We should mention that Malia earlier was like, my mom had a lot of, you know, there was a lot, she had a lot to handle. You know, she raised six boys. Oh, wait, five boys. I'm a girl. I forget sometimes. Sometimes I forget I'm even a human when I'm around Tom. I just try to be invisible.
I just say, sorry, baby, a lot. So Jess and Aisha are cleaning, and Aisha's trying again to be nice. And she's like, well, who's going to clean the room you and Rob are staying in? She's like, I'll clean it. But will there be cum stains all over the sheets?
Yeah.
No.
No.
Jess hates
You're her. Not going to seal the deal. No. She's like, I don't like talking about sex with Aisha. I don't really like talking about sex because I haven't had sex in 2 years. And it's going to be with Rob. It's like, have you ever thought what would happen if you had sex with that little tree thing from Guardians of the Galaxy?
Jess is like, I'm going to do laundry. And she leaves and Aisha just goes, all right, well, I tried. No banter. No, the banter fail.
Yeah, she's not getting that banter going. So let's have Tom, Malia, Bugsy, let's have a final preference sheet meeting of the season. Okay, so for this final charter, it's going to be all girls. Erin Grace, Zeta Brown, Hannah Yu, Boxcar Bottle Opener. I'm just going to say crazy words, okay?
Willa Leslie. It's like Cabbage Patch Doll names.
Hannah Storm. Oh, that's a real person.
And Hannah Yu is a parkour competitor. Parkour.
So get excited for her to be walking all over our yacht. Like, who?
What is parkour? I'm going to look it up.
Parkour is competitive It's kind of like competitive walk. It's like those people who like jump on things. It's like that French sport. You know, it's like parkour and like people who like jump from rooftop to rooftop and they jump off like this. They can't just like walk down a sidewalk. They have to bounce off the wall, you know? And they're like, it's a garbage can. I'm going to jump on it and then jump off of it.
Oh, it's a training discipline using movement that developed from military obstacle course training. Practitioners, called tracers or traceurs, aim to get from one point to another in a complex environment without assistive equipment and in the fastest and most efficient way. Okay, I'm dying to see this. I hope she does it.
It's the parkour was like, I feel like it was like a really big thing like in the early 2000s when it started to like really break out, and it was like, look at these people. There was even a video game. I remember it was a video game by like Mark Echo or something like that. It was a weird co-brand thing where you were like a parkour guy and you're like, you're gonna parkour up to a billboard and then parkour over onto like a girder, and you're gonna parkour everywhere, but you're gonna wear Mark Echo at the same time. So the point is this: I would love to see someone doing parkour on this yacht and see how long it takes before they fall overboard.
Yeah, they just like doing really weird things, because then they're gonna go do some land thing, and then Bugsy's like,
and they want to do a silent disco. Oh no.
Can I tell you about silent discos?
You had your birthday party.
You remember that? Were you at that party?
Yes, that's when I first met
Nightmare. No, was it? Oh yeah. Yeah, I was like, no, we met in a gym, Ronnie. No,
I know, but that I think that was like that the was first that early, was like when I met you, like around the time.
It was it was a little bit after that, but basically the story is that one year for my 30th birthday, I had my birthday party at the Pally House, which is the same place where Lisa Vanderpump and Dorit and Kyle got into a big argument and Vanderpump drove off in her Rolls Royce. I was like, "Bye." So I had my party there, and it was so fun. It was such a great vibe. It was a great place for a party. It was so good. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it again. And so I was even more excited for this, like, Pally House times two for my 31st birthday. And I just invited so many people, and it was going to be the best party ever. And no, what they didn't tell me was that there was a silent disco plan for that night. And a silent disco is, for those who don't know, it's meant for, like, outdoor music festivals, because what you do is everyone has these headphones on and the DJ plays music to the headphones and everyone has the headphones on, is dancing, but it doesn't disturb, you don't get noise complaints, right? Because it's all in headphones, and it's kind of like this fun thing that we're all dancing, but if you like, you know. So they decided to do a silent disco at my birthday venue, and so there was no music. It was like a silent birthday party. And we didn't want to do a silent disco, so like all my guests were there, and then the local news came to cover it, so they had to turn the lights all the way on. So it was like silent and the lights were at full brightness, and everyone was coming to my party like, oh, and they'd like come say happy birthday, and then 5 minutes later they would leave. It was like the worst birthday
party
of all time.
I didn't know you very well, and I wasn't coming with anybody. I was coming alone, so I didn't really know anybody. And I came in, I was like, what the f-? I said, this guy, to myself, obviously, I was like, this guy is so much fancier than me, first of all, having your birthday there. I'm like, just me and the Abby. I'm the one throwing up into the water fountain. And you have this like fancy thing, and I'd never seen that silent disco. And your friends were so nice, but yeah, we were like, "Hi, nice to meet you," and then we would just jet, because I was like, "What the fuck was that?"
No one
Who is this person? Who is this Ben guy?
Yeah, and it was just like, and there were like some people that were like really cool who were supposed to. I was like mortified every single time that people came by, like, because I was like, this would be like my time to like introduce this friend to that friend, and like I had all these like ideas.
Well, and it's just that time period. It's like one of those things we're gonna look back in the 2000s and just crack up that people went to silent discos, you know? But these people are like, let's go to a silent disco. It's like, that still exists.
Yeah, and it's like, it's a stupid concept for like indoors, right? Because the whole thing is like you're outdoors at a music festival.
I've seen a bunch of them indoors. They do them at clubs and stuff.
It's a stupid, stupid thing. And the thing is also that the headphones have like three channels on them, so you can switch to different songs. So what happens is people walk up to each other and they're dancing like, what song are you singing to? Which one are you listening to? What are you listening to? It's just like the most idiotic thing I've ever participated in. And so, like, of course the parkour girl wants to do a silent disco. Like, I want to do all the things from 12 years ago.
Yeah, and we got a frisbee golf in there, so
it's crazy. Ultimate frisbee. Did they want to do frisbee golf?
Oh, was it ultimate frisbee?
the last charter wants to do ultimate
just made
frisbee.
Me think of frisbee golf. Okay, so anyway,
also
so
terrible.
They keep going down the preference sheet, and they're difficult. They're difficult people, so we're going to get to see Tom lose it. And yes. It's like, well, I don't like mushrooms, but I do like truffles, but not tarragon. Not even a
no
hit
tarragon.
Of tarragon.
I don't no tarragon.
Yeah, I don't like seafood, but I do like crab legs, but just the legs and no body, and lobster tail, but just the tail, because I prefer not to eat anything slimy. So no duck, no venison, no, like, wow.
No oysters. It was like one, and that was just one person. So I was excited. I was like, Tom's going to have a conniption. So then afterwards, now Tom and Leah are in bed, and Tom's like, I don't know what Sandy's problem was at the meeting. I mean, what was that? And Malia's like, well, that's just how she is. Well, it's really sad. It's like, I mean, for any new crew member to come away from a meeting having some sort of scolding, like thinking like, what the fuck have I done, you know? Like, the only person who's allowed to scold anyone is a chef who's allowed to scold anyone about a cucumber and an avocado. That's the only person who can do that, okay?
Yeah, he can talk down to everybody, but God forbid his boss say anything to him. And yeah. So she's like, oh, it's so hard. I've got my job and his job on my shoulders, but that's being a professional. Like, oh, God, I hate this look on you. Hate it.
Yeah, I hate it, too, because she was so strong all season. And then as soon as Tom came along, she just really crumbled.
Yeah.
So now most of the group is going out. Rob and Jess are staying on the boat to have sex. And so so Bugsy gets into the van, to go to the club. And she's like, it smells weird in here. And then she's like, probably got skid marks on my knickers.
And Bugsy's out in some weird cutout tennis dress. She's in one of the weirder outfits.
Which says a lot.
Yeah. And Alex is like, you know, if what does he say? My writing makes no sense. My typing makes no sense. Here's what my typing
Noma.
Says.
Noma forever.
Weren't here was the, oh, yeah. He says, half of you wasn't here in the beginning. Gotta be honest. Can't believe Jess is the OG of the interior. No offense.
Yeah.
I made it through. I made it through my own terrible phonetic sentence.
Yeah, you did. It was really well done. Meanwhile, back on the yacht, Jess and Rob have, like, they've gotten takeout, and they're having, like, really boring banter about garlic breath and how, like, Jess doesn't want to eat something because she's afraid she'll have garlic breath or something like that. I don't know.
Like, they have no chemistry. She's like, I don't like, want to eat garlic bread. Why don't you like garlic bread? Well, I want to eat it, but I'm not going to eat it.
You're scared of garlic?
No, it's just like...
But why are you scared of garlic?
No,
you
present. Don't get it.
I need you to be present about the garlic. I'm inside myself now about your opinions
I'm
on
I'm in
garlic.
My head. Am I in my head or the garlic head?
So then Tom, back in the van, is like, oh, this is so crazy being out with me new chums. How to think the day that I came here, you were waxing Alex. And Bugsy's like, I liked it. I quite liked it.
Yeah, and then... and then at dinner, Aisha is like, so, I have to ask a question. Is there actual sexual chemistry between you, Bugsy, and Alex, or is that just a drunk thing? Ooh.
And Bugsy looks so annoyed. And yeah. She just, like, gives her a dirty... Alex is like, you answer, Bugs. And she's like, no sexual tension. And Alex is like, well, that's not awkward.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. So then she's like, I'm quite awkward when it comes to tension in relationships. I just like the kissing and laughing part. Why can't we do that? Well, why can't you do that? Because right now you're just giving him really dirty looks.
Don't you remember she was dumped when she was 14 and ever since then she's not been able to trust a man? Don't you remember that story?
Yeah. So Ace is like, is it just when you get drunk you like playing tonsil hockey? And he's like, well, maybe Bugs feels like that, but I like him on a different level. And Bugs just gives him this dirty death look.
Yeah. And then, like, wow, Bugs is just like,
no, I just ate a pepper. Ooh, it feels like I got thunder in my tummy.
So it's super awkward. Emily is like, yeah, Alex is crushing a lot harder than she is. Awkward. And Bugsy's all mad now. And so then back on the boat. Rob is like, well, I have to go somewhere when this is all done. I have to return somewhere, and it will be with you. So I guess New York, we should do something for your birthday. She's like, well, I'm going to be with my mom on my birthday, so I guess it's going to be you and my mom. Which
it's
is
cute.
Like a huge deal, you know?
Yeah, he's like, we'll bake a cake. Well, he said to her, he goes, I want to do something just you and I for your birthday, which is like classic narcissistic behavior, right? Where you like separate the girl from like everyone. Like he's like trying to like close her world in onto him. Like he comes on really strong, trying to cut away people. What if she wants to have to do something for her birthday with a bunch of her friends? Why not that, Rob?
Rob. But she's just going to spend it with her mom. So he's like, I love you. Ah. So then they're talking back on with the gang. They're talking about whether it's hard for Aisha to jump in the middle of a season. And she's like, it is hard. I mean, in freelance, I'm used to jumping in, but banter. And then we get the one shot of Pete for the show, just kind of staring off into space.
I know, still waiting for Laura to text him back.
So
she's, you know, because she's still homesick and she's crew sick because it's not the same as Sirocco, whatever. So then they head back to the yacht and they're in the car and Tom's like, show me a bed and I'll show you how quickly I can fall asleep. Look, I'm being hilarious. Isn't that a funny joke? I can be a light, funny person. Show me a bed and I can show you how quickly I fall asleep. Well, you're going to have to write that on the whiteboard first. Oh, God, for crying out loud! I can't even have a theoretical nap anymore. I can't even have a theoretical nap.
So then Rob and Jess are starting to bang, and he's like, well, I was in a documentary about tantric sex.
Of course.
The point is, you release all your tension into her. I heard Sting and his wife have sex for, like, 3 days.
Rob, of course, was in a documentary about tantric sex. He, of course, he probably was on 35 episodes of Real Sex on HBO.
Ew.
You know, where you're like, ooh, a show about sex. Let's watch this. And it's all like creepy old people.
Yeah, it's homely people boning. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, he was on that. Like, and even like there are certain porno videos that are like, here's how to masturbate if you're a gay man. And then you like, they're just like these really awful videos of like, it's sensual. And I'm telling you, it's sensual because the music is Yanni. And it's just like a Rob type. And you're like, ugh.
I'm looking, of course, I had to Google documentary about tantric sex and see if I can see Rob anywhere in here. Don't see him so far. But it's just like a lot Rob. Of only people having sex, guys.
You know, it's just like 45 minutes of Rob sitting cross-legged with like a girl in his lap facing him also cross-legged and just like very slow thrust, like, ooh.
Yeah, I don't need like to have sex for 3 days, okay?
Not with Rob.
Love it, it's great, but like no one needs to do anything for 3 days, you know? Let's do it. Let's eat. Okay, yeah. So then the van returns and everyone's tired and going to bed and Bugsy has shot down Alex and so that's kind of sad. And he's like, I think she's afraid, you know, when it gets real, she shuts down, you know? But I'm not like the other guys. I'm not like the other guys. And then you just hear in the guest cabin, ah, baby, ah.
How's that
baby,
feel?
Yeah, baby.
How's that feel?
So in the morning.
Are you in my head? Yes.
So sorry.
Now's the morning. No, no, I just was doing more Rob voice. No, you should
just more Rob Bowman voice.
Yeah. So it's the morning, everything is calm, Tom is rolling out dough for some reason, there's cleaning, Sandy has some humble requests, hey, Malia, can I have a deck crew member vacuum my cabin and hallway, and the crew mess too, can we have that? I'm like, I don't know why we're having a scene dedicated to this order.
Yeah.
But I'm sort of intrigued to see what's going to happen.
So Malia comes to her, and she's like, just so you know, I'm going to have a lead deckhand now, I'm going to name somebody, because... You know, over the season, it's been well-deserved, and last season, I got the title of lead deckhand halfway through the season, and that meant a lot to me, so it's going to be great to reward someone's efforts.
I love that.
Now, you know what? Who probably loves it even more? The dust on the floor in the hallway. So, again, the vacuuming would be wonderful.
Could you name that dust on the floor in the hallway lead getting picked upper? That would be great.
Will the lead deckhand be the one vacuuming my bedroom? Because that's really what I care about now. I love that they're trying to even like have some sort of like veneer, not, some sort of facade. I sometimes said veneer, some sort of facade of like suspense about this. Like, who do we think is going to be the lead deckhand? Well, you have Pete, the guy who has been literally fired off the show, and like we don't even see him. And you have Rob, the guy who can't throw Rob.
The first, yeah.
Yeah,
month.
He actually was the lead deckhand and was like demoted, and then you have Rob who can't throw a rope, so that leaves only Alex. Like, why are we even trying to be suspense? Is it who is it going to be? Like Darian, the first mate? Like, who, like, what's the point?
It's going to be the cucumber.
I would love that.
So we're near port. All crew. Okay, so the guests text them and they're like, Sandy, we're near port. Any way we can arrive early? And she's like, oh my God, of course. Why in the world would that be a problem? Sure, come on down.
I couldn't believe that. So then Tom's like, so she's like, all crew, if you happen to be napping, it doesn't look like anyone is because there's nothing on the whiteboard. So the guests will be coming on 1 hour earlier. Shouldn't be a problem for anyone, right? And Tom's like, well, that's not cool. That's not cool at all. It's not cool at all. Oh!
So the provisions arrive, and this poor lady who's just like getting it at every turn is back. And she's like, we have fresh lobsters, super fresh. He's going to love the I don't know why I'm Irish right now. But she's like, he's
oh, it's a fresh heart and a fresh lobster. Oh, we got the finest lobsters and potatoes. I'm getting fanny flutters just looking at these lobsters right now.
So Tom gets them and he's like, fish arriving in the back of a car. It's baking in there. It needs to come in a refrigerated van. What a fucking joke. Not fair.
Malia, come over here. Look at this fish. Okay, look, I'm gonna stick my thermometer in there. All right, it's 12 degrees Celsius. Anything over 5 Celsius is a joke. Almost as big as a joke is poaching then frying is a joke.
And he's like, Sandy. She's like, I'll go find her. So she goes to Captain just Sandy's
some fucking fish.
Little office. And Tom's freaking out. She's like, Sandy, we're having problems with provisions again. And she's like, why isn't Tom coming to me? You know what? You need to have Tom come to me, not you.
Yeah, which I actually was glad Sandy said that because she's right. So Malia's like, Tom, she'd like you to speak with her. He's like, well, I called her. Where is she? I called her. I'm like, she's your boss. You go to your boss. She doesn't come to you.
Yeah. And so he goes to Sandy and he looks pissed. He's like, so Malia just told you the fish is warm. I mean, what can you do? What can you do about it? She's like, well, here's what they do. They bring us more fish at their expense because you can't serve that. He's like, well, at least put it in these coolers. I mean, it's just a joke. Carrier bags. Look at this. Carrier bags. And she's like, carrier bags? Yes, carrier bags. And the guests come in 1 hour. She's like, I get it, Tom. I get it.
So she calls up. She's like, hey, Food Norma? Yeah, guess what? The food was room temperature. You got to send it again. They're like, oh, we're so sorry. And she's like, here, talk to Tom. He's like, well, you know what? Everything's absolutely fucked right now, so you might as well just send over some halibut and some cod. And the provisioner's like, well, do you need it for lunch? Absolutely, I need it for lunch. Why the fuck would I want it for midnight snack? No, that's what cucumbers are for, apparently.
And then he sneezes a big sneeze, which I think I only noticed because it's Corona time. I was like, ew!
I know, me too. He goes, fucking hell, everything's fucked. And he goes, when he sneezes, he goes, Christ, this fucking looks bad on me again, mummy.
Malia, fucking hell, Malia. So she comes, and he's like, I'm done. The guests come in an hour. How is this fair? Now look at this. How am I supposed to put this away? Not fair, mummy! And the captain's like, okay, she's gonna get the fish. All right, Sandy. Well, guess what? The fish isn't the problem. All right.
Yeah, and she goes, well, she's like, well, I think that bread looks good that you made. The bread is burnt! Okay, that bread's going in the bin right now. Okay, I hope your bread likes to see your potato friend because it burnt in the bin right now. And they're like, no.
Don't do it. It's not burnt. And he's like, it's burnt. Don't try to humor me.
And then they're like, so then Sandy's like, pulling Malia away, you know, because he's like, fine, I won't throw the bread away, but we all know it's burnt. It's burnt as hell, and Mummy wouldn't approve of it. So Sandy pulls Malia away, and she's like, stop saving him. Stop. Stay out of the galley. Let him do his food.
He needs to come to me, okay? Here's the deal. I'm the captain. You need to stay away from him, because when you're filtering him, I don't get the information I need. And you just hear him go, fucking joke! And Malia's like, but he needs help putting provisions away. No, stay out of the galley. Anyone can go in there but you. So he's going to walk off the boat. Then let him walk.
And then Tom takes the tray of the bread, the biscuits, or whatever he was, that, like, they're like, it's fine, they're not burning. He throws it out anyways, like, fuck this, mother!
Oh my god. Just
throws out all those biscuits. He's... Oh god.
He's such an asshole. My god.
He's awful. He is awful, and it's hilarious. Oh my goodness. Really, I never really thought is. That he'd provides the, so much entertainment.
You know, this is definitely one of the best worst chefs that's been on here.
Oh yeah, he's probably like I agree. I think that he's the best worst chef.
Yeah,
his tantrums are epic.
Well, everybody, that brings us to the end of Bolodic Mediterranean. Mother, that was this fair. Thank you so much for being with us. We will be back tomorrow with something selling sunset. Selling sunset.
Yeah. Have a great day, guys, and I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
Shannon better than Kyle Richards.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible, edible Matthews sisters.
The Wyndham Beneath Our Wings, it's Joe Wyndham.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Lordess, the Lordess of the Rings.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.